I'm Joe Clement for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm joined by
Fran Michelle for the Old Mole Variety Hour.
We're going to talk about an older film, older being 20 years old, Ants. It was released in 1997 as one of the first digitally engineered films. Toy Story was the one really big box office hit, and a couple of few years later, we got Ants. It was directed by Eric Darnell and Tim Johnson and stars this like incredible smorgasbord of well-known actors playing voice actors. Woody Allen is the main character, Z. It is a film about ants. Z is an ant, one of millions, it's suggested, who is very alienated and nervous and just out of sync with society and feels oppressed and dominated. And the movie is the story of his coming to terms with that alienation and how it is not just him, it's not just his personality, it is a product of the society that he lives in, which is this collectivist one that is tending towards a kind of fascism. And it's a kind of silly story because it's about ants, but it talks about classes and social distinctions as if they're humans. But we both like it for this reason, because the way it helps make what is familiar unfamiliar again.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about this film, which ends with the statement that it's just your typical boy meets girl, boy gets girl, boy changes underlying social structure story. It worked well for both adults and kids. There are a lot of really funny one-liners. There's a lot of, you know, shtick from Woody Allen. There are some bad words, so parents might want to be aware of that. But there's a lot in it about sort of the relation between the individual and the community, about the role of work, about, you know, how to deal with a fascist takeover or attempted fascist takeover, which is a timely concern. It has to do with, you know, sort of finding your place in collectivity and our shared power and the commons and that kind of stuff. It's got a lot of fun play with the visuals, with changes in perspective, which I think is also related to the question of changes in perspective in the story. Whose version of events are we going to adhere to? It opens with with some of those one-liners of Woody Allen on the couch talking to his shrink about the idea that he's always felt insignificant because, after all, he never got his mother's attention because he was the middle child of 5 million, which is a line that, right, sort of undercuts the notion of psychoanalysis and the sort of intensive focus on one's own psyche that Woody Allen is sort of famous for engaging in, although in a self-mocking way. But he says he feels so insignificant. His shrink says, "You've made a great breakthrough. You've realized you are insignificant."
And that is itself an expression of the dominant culture. And in that moment, the shrink, I think, very clearly kind of starts to stand out as like another one of these voices that is telling him this and that he realizes he needs to not believe. And he is a worker. The worker ants seem to only really dig. They aren't making food. Some of them are tending a bar in the ridiculous ant dance club that they have, which we'll talk a little bit more about. But the workers are essentially just digging. And he is a friend, or is befriended with another ant who is a part of the soldier class, who's played by Sylvester Stallone. And they have this very... They're like brothers. They're born 2 seconds apart, and I think that is part of expressing their bond, that they met before they were socially conditioned to be their class. We see early in the film that all babies who are being pumped out of the queen every 10 seconds, it is said, are given a iconic thing. The soldiers get a helmet, the workers get a pickaxe, and so in that moment before that happens, you can really kind of sense that that's where they met, that's where they encountered, and then they have this lifelong friendship. And they're both pushing and pulling on each other about like their different kind of perspectives on being part of this ant society.
So although in one sense, the movie is about this society that is tremendously regimented, in fact, biologically regimented, right, that they become physically different. I mean, we see the worker ants are smaller and lighter and shorter and thinner than the big muscular military ants that are the soldier ants. But much of the movie is about the ways that the characters or the plot turns on characters crossing those boundaries and those lines. So Z meets Princess Bala, the princess of the colony, when she goes slumming and comes into the ant worker bar, and they dance together, not in the regimented lines. But that's where he first sees her, and then because he wants to see her again, he convinces Weaver to switch places with him because there's going to be a parade of the soldiers past the palace. So the plot turns on the possibility of crossing these lines.
You know, Bala coming to the bar is kind of a classic trope in stories that have anything to do with class, and that is one of the biggest things this film has to do with. We could say it has to do with race in some ways, but in a way, it's really focused on class. And so when Bala comes down to the bar, she's repeatedly like talking about the workers. She has this very objectified view of them. She keeps just referring to them as their class and how she's going to go and enjoy the workers. And there is this sense in which like the workers are like the real people. They are the ones who actually get to enjoy life. She's lamenting this to her mother when they're having their own kind of old generation, new generation kind of debate about like what's the future of people in our class. And so she goes to the bar to try and basically get an injection of the real life from the masses. And in that moment, she kind of starts to realize things about herself, and Z realizes things about the potential of others to actually be interesting and unique. Bala's interesting and unique, though, because she is purebred. She's aristocracy. And Z is unique because he's always typecast as this oddball.
As you say, it's much more about class than race or gender. And I mean, the movie is trying and I think succeeding in saying some interesting things about class and playing with those lines and whether nature is dynamic, whereas it's not particularly playing with lines around gender or race, where it seems to really conform to some of the more conventional tropes and structures and narratives of heterosexual romance and of, right, sort of typecasting of characters of color. Although, of course, the ants are ant-colored, which is kind of a brownish, tannish color. But there's one soldier who kind of takes Z under his wing. He's voiced by Danny Glover. His name is Barbatus, which sounds a lot like Barbados. I mean, he's clearly, right, he's the African-American ant. And then one of Z's worker friends is voiced by Jennifer Lopez, and her name is
Azteca.
Yeah, so they're not working on playing with those things, actually, at all. And, you know, the princess is princessy. And, of course, I mean, it's a cartoon about ants.
The big story that really drives the whole narrative is that there is a general named General Mandible who is voiced by Gene Hackman, and he has a plan to create a purified colony. He wants to kill off a lot of the ants, probably lots of workers, and build a stronger colony. And the film is definitely taking head on this question of the state, of the struggle for the state between fascist forces and worker forces.
Yeah. Well, the worker forces, though, are represented in the terms of the state by the queen and the royal house. Right. I mean, it's the old story of the peasants' rebellion being aligned with the king. As far as we know, it's, you know, there's still a queen. It's still a monarchy. It's not a workers' collective, but it's a much more benign monarchy by the end, it seems. And it's resisted, right? The state has resisted state as structured by the benevolent, feminine monarch who believes in diplomacy and working with your enemies if you can, as opposed to the fascism, the militarism, the violence of the general who intentionally sends out the soldier ants who are loyal to the queen to die in battle against the termites so that he can promote this alternate version of the colony in which only the strong survive. And he and Bala can get married, and apparently all the workers will be drowned.
Yeah, so that's why overall the film does not present like the right revolution. But what's really fun about it is how it really drives at the question of worker power in society, and not in an abstract sense, but really bringing it home to the fact that it's, you know, we who are putting our hands on the machines, on the tools, on the materials, who are the direct conduits of all of the power of society, increasingly mediated by machines, but still the machines, you know, have buttons that we're pressing, and that this is the fundamental fact of our power. And there's this really great scene in the middle where people start talking about this.
Yeah. Well, and on the technology question, it's also the case, of course, that the buttons and the machines have been built by workers, that workers are the machine. Ultimately, if you trace it back, it all comes back to labor. And there's a moment in the film when the other ants worker ants are starting to realize that they don't necessarily have to keep digging, that there might be another choice. And we actually have an ant saying, "The workers control the means of production." Like, how many films do you hear that line in? How many mainstream Hollywood films that families go to and play in multiplexes that you can find on Netflix include somebody saying, quite seriously, as a principle of discovery, that the workers control the means of production? Quite true.
And this anti-work kind of attitude or attitude of agency is repeated again and again. There's this great scene towards the end where some of the workers have been asked to stop digging because they were going to open up a lake to flood into the tunnel they're in. And a manager comes by and says, "Hey, you all get back to work." And they just look at him and they say, "Why?" And it's moments like that that I think make the film worth watching, because, again, this is a kid's film. It's a kid's film which, in its time, was bridging that gap between kids' films and films that appeal to adults. And yet, it works best as a series of different vignettes and lessons about these tropes and processes that play out between individuals and the society they're in.
And I think it really does emphasize the way that individuals find themselves. As an individual, one finds oneself through community and through solidarity and through working with others. In ants, all the technology, all the machines are the ants themselves. There's a wrecking ball. It's made out of ants. The chain that holds it up is made out of ants. The colony is saved at the end by making a ladder out of ants. That they are the technology. So, I mean, there's a real emphasis on the importance of their collective participation in their shared action in taking control of their lives and saving themselves.
That in itself is worth highlighting, because obviously the fascists were also, in a way, trying to organize workers to fascist ends. The fascies, the symbol of fascism, is this bundle of sticks from many one, the strength of the many one, and that represents a certain, you know, notion of collective power. And Z and his ostensible kind of anarcho-syndicalist revolutionary attitude represents a different way of finding power in the group.
There's a moment near the end of the film when the workers have escaped or about to escape, but they need a little bit more help, and the general wants them to give it up and basically die for the good of the colony. And Z says, "We are the colony." And
the general says, "I'm the colony."
Right, statement of tyrants everywhere. I am the state. And that is overthrown.
Well, I think that's all the time we have for this on-air portion of our conversation about the 1997 film Ants.
Which you can find at the Multnomah County Library. We'll keep talking about this online. How about that?
We didn't even talk about Insectopia. Do you know there's an Insectopia in this film? And they go there. You can find this conversation with an extended portion at kboo.fm/Old Mole Variety Hour in a day or two.
Guess what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant. Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant. But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. He had bad. Instead of feeling sad, just remember that ram.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt
dam. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
So